I dress carefully for the dinner date, choosing to wear dress slacks, shirt and tie, and a dinner jacket. Afterwards, I walk down the street to the bodega to buy a pack of cigarettes. I had planned to catch a cab from there, but when I came out of the market, two men grabbed me from behind. A dark-colored van squealed out from around the corner, screeching to a halt in front of us. The men tried to force me into the van, but I kicked and punched my way clear of them. I had no real fighting skills, but I used a heady rush of adrenaline and the moves learned from many years of sparring with Troy. It was the only training I had. I heard bones crunch as my elbow connected with the nose. That man turned loose quickly enough, and I focused on the other one. The second man attempted a chokehold. I kicked hard, plowing my heel into the leg directly behind me. I am certain I dislocated his patella. Both assailants cursed loudly and moaned. They were useless after that, and I quickly took off towards home while the men dragged themselves into the van. It sped away in the opposite direction. When I got to the stoop of the brownstone, I was dazed. A myriad of questions rolled around my skull. How the hell did that happen? It had to be the bug Maria found. The men were connected to the listening device. That had to be it. They were the ones listening. But what did they want? Had removing the bug ensured this desperate attempted abduction? Dazed, I stumbled through the front door. The alarm sounded noisily, causing me to nearly jump out of my skin. I quickly closed the door to silence it, and then went upstairs to the bathroom. My heart beat wildly. I couldn't tell if I was hurt or not. I didn't feel anything except a wild and crazy flood of adrenaline. One look in the mirror let me know I was fine. The dinner jacket lapel was torn, my tie was askew, and there was a little discoloration on my left cheek. It was similar to a rug burn and caused by an elbow during the scuffle. I didn't have any real pain, and I didn't see blood. I was lucky this time. Will there be a next time? Of course there'll be a next time. Somebody had been listening. Someone was following. Someone wanted me and the information and the visions. It was exactly as I had feared. It was why I had never told a soul. Some secret or governmental agency found out about the visions, and they would not stop until they got what they wanted. Me. I changed jackets, straightened the tie, put a little antiseptic on my cheek, and then went to La Palucci's to meet Casey. It wasn't her fault, and I wouldn't keep her waiting longer than necessary. When I got there, she wasn't there and didn't show. She didn't answer her phone either. I sat at the bar and sipped a scotch, neat, for over an hour, waiting. I only drank the one scotch, although I ordered two to keep the bartender happy. I fidgeted and worried over what I knew and what I didn't know. I considered that maybe the listening device was about Casey. Maybe the two men were sent by an angry, jilted lover. Maybe Casey really did feel the same connection I felt towards her. Maybe everything that had happened could be easily explained. Casey had simply found a key in the kitchen drawer while making coffee and decided to use it to surprise me. Maybe. And maybe I just wanted to believe those things. Is she in danger? Did the men intend to seize both of us? Did they already have Casey? Is that why she didn't show for dinner? Should I call the police or Joe? The answers eluded me, and the questions drove me crazy. It didn't help that her phone went straight to voicemail. At that time, I wasn't aware that I had previously blocked the sixth sense long before Adam tapped me on the forehead. I didn't know that the consequence of that action limited my ability to grasp and understand serious personal matters. For a man with an above-average intelligence, I often found myself going round and round, looking for a solution that would have seemed obvious to anyone else. It was the price paid for my rash, youthful decision. I was like a rat in a maze, running, running, and never finding a way out. Finally, realizing there weren't any answers sitting at the bar, I went home. It was too early for bed, so I paced back and forth. I sat in the dining room, and then in the living room, moving from room to room like a lion pacing his cage, a stranger in my own home.